In today's episode of Our Collective Nightmare, a bus full of tourists who just marveled at the natural wonder of Niagara Falls found themselves in a far more sinister spectacle. The bus, driven by a man who momentarily forgot that operating heavy machinery requires attention, lost control and rolled over on the New York State Thruway. It's as if the universe decided to remind us all that no good experience goes unpunished. The scene was one of chaos and confusion. Bodies flung from their seats like ragdolls, others trapped inside the twisted metal carcass that used to be their ride back to New York City. First responders raced against time while translators tried to bridge language gaps, because apparently, even in disaster, communication barriers are still a thing we haven't figured out yet. 52 souls were aboard this ill-fated journey, some from China and the Philippines, none expecting their vacation would end in tragedy. 5 lives extinguished, dozens injured. It's just another day on America's highways where seatbelts are optional until they're not. Hospitals braced for impact as patients flooded in with injuries ranging from broken bones to critical trauma. Erie County Medical Center and University of Rochester Medical Center became makeshift battlegrounds for life and death as medical staff scrambled to patch up what remained of those caught in this nightmare. Meanwhile, investigators are hard at work trying to piece together how exactly this catastrophe unfolded. Mechanical failure? Nope. Intoxication? Not this time. Just plain old human error, the kind that leaves you wondering if maybe we should all just stay home forever. New York's governor called it tragic, a word we've heard so often it might as well be tattooed on our foreheads. As first responders did their best amidst the wreckage, we're left pondering why every scenic route seems destined for disaster. And here we are again, another senseless accident in a long line of them, each one reminding us that safety is an illusion and certainty is a cruel joke played by fate itself.
A fall-like weather is sweeping across the United States. Finally, a break from the relentless summer heat. But let's not pretend this isn't the most first-world problem ever. Somewhere in the world, someone is struggling with real issues, and here we are debating whether we can finally wear that new sweater we bought on sale last March. In Bismarck, North Dakota, temperatures will barely reach the low 70s. Oh no, call FEMA, how will they survive such a catastrophe? And Minneapolis might dip into the upper 50s for the first time all month. Someone alert the authorities. This could lead to an unprecedented rise in pumpkin spice latte sales. Chicago's high of 70 degrees on Monday is about 10 degrees below normal. Quick, someone start a GoFundMe page for all those Chicagoans who might have to dig out their light jackets from storage. Meanwhile, Dallas could top out in the upper 80s, 5 whole degrees lower than average. Folks there haven't seen sub-90 degree weather since early July. It's practically Arctic conditions. Better stock up on thermal socks and hot cocoa. And then there's Phoenix, where it might only hit mid-90s instead of triple digits. That's right, folks. It's time to break out those parkas. The desert dwellers may even have to turn off their air conditioning for a few hours. But let's not forget our friends in Boston and New York City who are already enjoying what meteorologists call pumpkin spice weather. Because nothing says serious climate concerns like pairing your UGG boots with shorts while sipping overpriced coffee flavored like a gourd. Yet amidst this cozy chaos looms another threat. Warmer than normal temperatures could return at any moment. Can you imagine being forced back into flip-flops after you've mentally committed to flannel? So as we brace ourselves for this harrowing brush with autumnal chilliness across America, let us remember what truly matters. Finding just the right Instagram filter to capture our fall foliage selfies before Mother Nature changes her mind again. In conclusion, enjoy these brisk days while they last, because soon enough we'll be back complaining about how unbearably warm it is during September when it should really feel like October, or something equally trivial and utterly ridiculous.
Ah, Chicago. The Windy City, known for its deep dish pizzas and, now apparently, as the next contestant in President Trump's game of who wants to be a federalized police state. In this latest episode of The Daily Dose of Dystopia, we witness the president's announcement from his throne in the Oval Office that Chicago is on deck for a federal intervention. After all, nothing says local governance quite like an external crackdown. The president proudly boasts about his miraculous week-long stretch without murders in Washington, D.C., a feat so rare it's happened multiple times this year already. With over 1,900 National Guard troops stationed around D.C. like tourists at the Lincoln Memorial, Trump credits himself with turning chaos into calm. And why stop there? Next up, Chicago and New York, Because who needs state sovereignty when you have a national emergency declaration? Mayor, Bowser of DC has been put on notice. Get your act together or face more than just a federal police takeover. Of course, polling suggests city residents aren't exactly thrilled with the military presence on their doorsteps. But polls are just fake news anyway. In this ironic twist of fate where reality mirrors fiction, Trump envisions flocks of red hat-wearing citizens begging him to bring order to their cities. Meanwhile, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker express grave concerns about what they call an uncoordinated and unlawful deployment that could further strain relations between residents and law enforcement. Governor Pritzker paints Trump's actions as authoritarian overreach, an experiment in fear-mongering designed to destabilize public safety efforts while justifying more power grabs. But worry not. Trump assures us he's simply here to help straighten things out, like he did with DC. As we ponder how such federal interventions would unfold outside the unique confines of DC's governance restrictions, and whether Congress will continue playing along, the president seems undeterred by legalities or limits on his authority. With plans for $2 billion toward beautifying DC, because nothing screams security like flower beds, Trump's vision for America's future appears clear. One nation under surveillance, with liberty and justice dictated by executive decree. So buckle up, folks. We're careening down this dystopian highway with no brakes in sight.
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder life's big questions while ironically sipping on our overpriced lattes. Today's topic, Venus Williams, a tennis legend who continues to defy time and logic by competing at the highest levels of her sport well into her 40s. This segment is inspired by an article from CNN titled Venus Williams. Now let's talk about Venus, a woman who has achieved everything one could possibly want in tennis, 7 Grand Slam singles titles, 14 doubles titles with her sister Serena, and even 2 mixed doubles triumphs. Yet here she is, still swinging her racket as if she's got something left to prove. Is it passion? Is it madness? Or perhaps it's just an existential need to keep moving lest she be swallowed by the void? Her childhood coach Rick Machi once said that when he first saw Venus play, he knew she had the potential to go far. But did anyone expect far would mean playing against opponents young enough to be her children? Maybe that's the real secret. When faced with life's absurdity, just keep running after that fuzzy yellow ball. Venus's story is a testament to human resilience, or stubbornness, depending on your perspective. She's battled injuries and autoimmune disease, yet returns each time like a mythological hero refusing to retire from their epic quest. One might wonder if there's some divine cosmic scoreboard keeping track of all this effort. And what about us mere mortals watching from our couches? We marvel at her tenacity but can't help asking ourselves why we struggle so much with simply getting out of bed in the morning. Perhaps Venus embodies the absurdity of existence itself. A relentless pursuit of meaning in a universe that couldn't care less whether you win or lose. In essence, Venus Williams is not just playing tennis. She's engaging in an existential dialogue with Father Time himself. And maybe that's what keeps us watching, hoping for some revelation about our own lives through her endless volleys against inevitability. So next time you're feeling overwhelmed by life's futility, remember Venus, still battling away on court as if every point were a question mark hanging over humanity's purpose. Because sometimes the best way to confront the absurdity of life is simply to serve it back with style and grace. Until next time on the Existential Crisis Hour, keep questioning everything while doing absolutely nothing about it.
In the relentless pursuit of profit, we find ourselves navigating a labyrinth where regulations are but mere suggestions, easily bent to accommodate the insatiable demands of capitalism. The recent halt on work visas for foreign truck drivers in the United States is not so much a solution as it is a smokescreen, an attempt to distract from the systemic failures lurking beneath the surface. The tragedy on Florida's turnpike serves as a grim reminder of what happens when corners are cut and oversight is lax. A driver, illegally in the country, with questionable credentials and insufficient language skills, becomes a scapegoat in this capitalist fever dream. Yet, he is merely a symptom of an industry that prioritizes speed over safety, quantity over quality. As federal agencies scramble to assign blame and tighten regulations post-disaster, one cannot help but notice the glaring irony. An industry plagued by labor shortages now finds itself choking on its own red tape. The American Trucking Associations, Cries for stricter training standards ring hollow when juxtaposed against their acknowledgement of an impending driver shortage, a shortage exacerbated by these very restrictions they champion. The English proficiency mandate threatens to sideline tens of thousands of drivers at a time when every hand is needed on deck. But such measures do little more than serve as window dressing for deeper issues, the exploitation and devaluation of labor in favor of maximizing output. This is capitalism's cruel jest, creating problems only to offer solutions that perpetuate the cycle. Meanwhile, federal and state authorities engage in bureaucratic ping-pong over who bears responsibility for issuing licenses under false pretenses. In California's case, compliance with laws becomes irrelevant when those laws themselves are porous enough to allow unqualified individuals behind the wheel, and so we march forward into this capitalist nightmare where human lives are collateral damage in an economy that values profit margins above all else. The machinery grinds on, indifferent to its casualties, each misstep another cog in a system designed not for people, but for production. This spectacle unfolds before us like some twisted theater piece, where regulation masquerades as reform while quietly serving corporate interests. In truth, it's just another act in capitalism's endless play, a dark comedy where everyone knows their lines yet no one dares acknowledge the farce at hand.